Hello, everybody. I'm Liz Testa, and this is Lavish Hope. I'm so excited for you to hear this upcoming conversation with our special guest, Lynn Min. Lynn is a licensed mental health counselor, certified life coach, pastor, and a mom of three. 8 years of counseling, decades of working with people in and out of the church, and 9 years of motherhood. She affectionately says that all of her caretaking experience has taught her that mental health and spirituality go hand in hand. Wellness is lived out when we are whole, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and relationally. And out of all relationships, the most significant one is the one with all the pieces of our own selves, because that is where our inmost beliefs about God and the world first manifest. Lynn's work with clients has been to create safe and brave spaces where couples, families, and even a few brave men, along with many women, can be radically honest, shed some light into their hearts, and connect with their understanding of the divine to experience the healing and freedom they need. So I can't wait for you to come along and listen in with us and see what God says to you as you listen to our next episode of Lavish Hope. You had mentioned to me before about right-brained activism. So I'm just, as we're kind of moving into like the kind of, you know, how do we help our listeners sort of wrap their own heads around this and find hope and find resilience and find ways to overcome this current situation that we're all in, and just build some, just get some tools in the toolkit and some new ideas, fresh thinking.
So what really excites me is this concept of right-brained activism. And I think one of the reasons why I didn't emote with like such excitement and anger and, you know, is because anger is one of those emotions that catalyzes you to do to an action. It's like saying, do something about it so that it doesn't hurt anymore. Like fix it or speak up or do something, right? But sometimes it's, I feel like the expected response was do something about it, like go out and do a march or like make a sign or, you know, but then there's this right brain. And I also kind of distinguish it of like masculine and feminine energy. This masculine energy of the left brain is like, let's do something, let's create a structure, let's move into action. You know, and it's helpful. It's more about like, what can we control? What can we do? You know, and it's that kind of energy. And I think where I was emoting from and out of was this feminine right-brained activism, which is like more about accepting, more about seeing, and more about not really doing, but being. And out of a space of being, it's not like it's an energy that doesn't necessarily go out, but it actually kind of pulls in, right? You know, I don't know if this might be inappropriate, but, you know, it's like the male and the female anatomy, you know, it's like the male wants something, it's motivated by desire, and it'll like grow in structure and it'll penetrate. And the female anatomy will, you know, be motivated by the way it is desired. And it'll open and welcome and embrace. And so I get really interested. I think there's a lack of feminine energy, the feminine God, you know, this the Holy Spirit, which is actually, you know, written the feminine, right? And so there has to be a way where we can tap into what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. What are we embracing? And where is that place that we're coming from? And instead of just really kind of like protruding and doing, it's like thinking about how can we embrace and how can we accept and how can we prepare ourselves? And I call that instead of like the, to really kind of sit together with the social justice, I talk about inner justice.
Inner justice. That's great.
Yeah.
It's the both and, right?
Yes. Yes. The both and.
Yeah. And I love this because we talk a lot about, in the work that I do, we talk a lot about equity-based hospitality. And it's this sense of mutuality and the word embracing as opposed to outreach.
Yes.
We seek to embrace, and we can thank the Reverend Dr. Denise Kingdom Greer and her doctoral work in teaching us to go from outreach to embracing. So that is,
yes.
some of what you were talking about absolutely resonates there. And so in order for us to just like, are there practices that folks can do that might, the right-brained, you know, I'm left-handed, mm-hmm. so I am right-brained, mm-hmm. Right-brain dominant, but are there things that you would recommend for people that are like wanting to kind of explore it? Like mm-hmm. what can they do to kind of tap into that side?
So the left is like the seat of logic, and then the right is like the seat of creativity and right imagination, and this is where I saw, and maybe this is why I didn't jump into the left-brained social justice, because I think there was a part of me that discerned even before my head caught up and understood why I was feeling. It's like almost like what I discerned was that people were not coming from a space of hope. They're not holding in their imagination the story of faith. You know, we who are believers, we are taught, right? If you look at a mountain and you believe it, you hold mm-hmm. that vision and you say, move, it'll move.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what's really important is where is the space that you're coming from? And that's the inner justice part. Search my heart. Search your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to search, because you know what? If you're coming from a space of anger because you're so like in pain, the outcry of that, if you're not careful, you will just beget more of that, mm-hmm. more fear. Fear the white man, fear each other, fear the black one, fear the yellow one. Fear. And I think that's sometimes the problem, or like the perspective that the blind side. Mm-hmm. And so the right-brained activism, I would say, is just, invite God to seek and search within, right? And before you make an action, and that's something that, you know, therapists often, you know, invite to do, is instead of acting out, process things, right, before we put them into action. And I think that's the invitation of right-brained activism. It's this, like, prayer, because it really works. You know, the kingdom of heaven is here and now. And if we really believed it, how would the marches look like? How would the signs look like? What would be the articles we're writing? If we really believe that this is a land that God has given to us so that the lion and the lamb can lay together, right? So that the black, white, yellow, and purple, whatever, we can all, you know, coexist and actually really flourish together. What does that look like if we can have a vision of that? And I think the work sometimes is creating that vision.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when my therapist goes, what would it look like to have boundaries with your mom? And I'm like, I don't know. Do I just tell her no? Like, what does that look like? And mm-hmm. I felt so hopeless.
Yeah.
And because I felt hopeless, I kind of reenacted and kind of repeated compulsively. And there's a term for this: repetition compulsion or self-fulfilling prophecy. We fulfill the prophecies that we hold in our hearts and minds. And so the right-brained activist goes deep and works towards creating that prophetic vision, that kingdom of heaven imagination. And we hold it. We are like the space, the gatekeepers of that space and that reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just for the heaven. It's you know, thy kingdom come, right? What is that kingdom that is coming? Because if Christians don't hold that, who else is holding that?
That's right. And you know, there's something there. You when you were talking about story, right? About knowing your story.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when we're moving towards that vision and in sync with the Holy Spirit, even as we're moving towards this future. Or, you know, mm-hmm. the kingdom of heaven is among us. So like it's right here and now, but mm-hmm. so present to future, there's still this value in looking back, that notion of the Sankofa, right? The looking
mm-hmm.
back
mm-hmm.
to look forward, because when you do that work, and that sometimes brings up shame, it brings up all sorts of
yes.
feelings of, you know, we have, some of us have family that came to this country and does not want to talk about the past, right? Doesn't want mm-hmm. to talk about where they came from because they have very painful memories from that place. But sometimes looking back to look forward is necessary. So mm-hmm. one of the things that I'm finding in the work that I've been doing with Dismantling Racism is this value around sharing the stories to help build relationships and build bridges and find understanding. Mm-hmm. And also so that we can interrogate the past. We can excavate those places where harm was done, and we can find opportunities for healing, mm-hmm. and for redemption, mm-hmm. and for reparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you were talking about this moving forward and this sitting in the inner justice, perhaps some of that work is, you know, is the exploration of our own story, of our culture's story, of our, you know, our ethnic or racial background, but then also our country's story.
Yeah.
And, you know, just thinking about, so AAPI community and the African American community, for example, the ways that our country has, you know, sort of, there's been a social construct that has pitted mm-hmm. peoples against each other,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? When you were just talking about your cultural norms around being submissive, being quiet, and et cetera. And then you think about the stereotypes around African Americans. You can see, you know, how there's social construct around that conflict that happened. So I love this idea of the holy imagination, of the creativity, of the story of our faith, that's what can carry us forward. Mm. It's really beautiful. Yeah. And then just thinking about this vision of hope and having a sense of resilience. I'm just wondering, as you know, the therapist that you are, do you have any just tips on how to build resilience or find resilience in the middle of some of this? It's just such a challenging season in so many ways, but particularly around some of this justice work that we're wanting to engage in. What are some practices that we might be able to think about that are healthy?
Hmm. So I often, you know, I bring this also, I bring faith into this also. Like, you know, the Bible verse, you know, perseverance leads to endurance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not fail, right? And it's this like, as long as, and it, psychologically, here's how it works. If we don't understand, if we don't believe somewhere in the depths of our being that something better is there, like we will not walk towards death unless we believe in a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we are so wired for self perseverance that unless there is this vision or a belief or a faith or a hope for something to redeem, mm-hmm. We won't look at the past because it hurts.
Yeah.
Right. And without the sense of hope or something good coming out of that, there's no reason to do it, right? And so I often, you know, include into my prayer practice and my meditation practice this like holy imagination, really, to sit and imagine, God, give me a vision that's going to burn all of this BS in the way and really drive me. Because if I can even just get a sense of what's possible, if you can give me that vision, right? And it might even be triggered by, you know what, like that conversation where my client turned the table around and she asked me when this whole thing with Asian Americans were happening, are you okay? And I just thought, whoa, this was not in my vision book. I'm supposed to care about you. You know, I'm the therapist. You know, just in so many ways, it turned a vision on me. It gave me a new, like, and I just thought, oh, wow, there's a little snippet of a vision. And then it's up to me to foster that vision. What would it feel like if, you know, if I can imagine me being taken care of by my Black client, then can I imagine a community, you know? Can I imagine my dad one day admiring a sermon by a Black preacher, you know? And if I can imagine it, then maybe one day I'll share one, you know? And maybe it'll be possible because somewhere in me, there's a vision that it is possible. There's a vision. And so I would encourage you to pray with your imaginations. Imagine the things that are so possible with God, you know, and that's the faith walk. Mm-hmm. Believe it.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so inspiring. And, you know, it's just having that counterpoint to everything that's happening out in the public square and the political arena, that there is that inner life and that there is that the faith walk, right? The faith journey with Christ, with each other as the body of Christ, as sisters and brothers, and just being able to imagine that beloved community. You know, Dr. King cast that vision of beloved community. So when you were just talking about community, it's so precious for us, you know, to be able to have trusted people that we can be on the journey with, right, and that can support us and that can be part of believing.
Yep.
Because we can't believe 100% all the time on our own, right? We need others that can come alongside us and hold us up when we're feeling weak in that area. So,
and that's exactly what we're doing. We're holding a vision out for this world. Yeah. One that we're not living out right now. But
That's wonderful. What we're called to do. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Well, Lynn, thanks so much for your time with me here on the podcast, Lavish Hope. Is there any final thing, any word of wisdom, anything else that you have on your heart that you want to share today before we say goodbye and sign off?
No, just it is possible. The kingdom of heaven is here and now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. So. Well, thank you, dear sister. Thank you so much for this time together. And God bless you and your work. And I know you've been really sharing a lot lately of yourself. And so I pray that between all the work that you're doing and your family at home, that you are taking time and finding time for yourself to be refreshed as well.
Thanks, Liz. It was great.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be together. Thank you. Yep. Take good care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening in to the Lavish Hope podcast with Lynn Min. I hope more than anything, this episode has brought you one step closer to unpacking what lavish hope, resilience, and overcoming means to you in your own life and your own story. You can connect with Lynn and follow along with her upcoming writings and offerings through Facebook at Lynn Min, LynnMin, or consider taking an online course on her website, www.lynnmin.com. That's www.lynnmin.com. If you enjoyed this Lavish Hope podcast, please subscribe, comment, and reshare any place here on social. This episode is brought to you by faithword.org, an online learning community where you'll find ideas for living out your faith, reflections on scripture, the church, and faith, stories about how other Christians are following God's call, and resources to bring to your own church or organization along for the ride. The Lavish Hope podcast is hosted by me, Liz Testa, produced by Anna Radcliffe, with assistant production by Lorraine Parker, sound design by Garrett Steyer, and web support by Grace Reuter and Barb Ellis.